So determining the number of factors, if we're going to do the Bartlett's test, we have to get the determinant. We need that to put into the computator, so we have to ask for the determinant. The determinant is a single number summary of how much variation is in the correlation matrix. You can also get Bartlett's test of sphericity. This is the initial test of whether there's enough variance to look for the first factor. And you just click that. You can also, in the extraction window, ask for the scree plot. You don't have to plot that yourself. SPSS will give you a nice little scree plot. You can also change what number you put in here. You can ask for a specific number of factors, or you can change the eigenvalue. And what a lot of people have tried over the years is jack that up to 1.1, jack it down to 0.9, see if it changes what's going on very much. So here we have a set of variables that we're going to look at. It's got the Sutter-Iberg and the Iberg. This is teacher ratings of specific behaviors, how often they engage in those behaviors and how much of a problem it is, and the same thing done by parents. We also have an index of the number of in-school disciplinary actions, how many times they've been suspended from school, and the number of times that they have been removed from treatment by the court, usually to be placed in jail for just a while, then we get them back. And if you take a look, this one's nasty on the one side. And by that I mean that second factor pretty clearly is going to be useful. I mean, it's got an eigenvalue a whole bunch more than one. But that third factor's not very far below one. Could it be that third factor's interesting? That it has a combination of information that might be cool? Well, here's the scree plot, and the scree plot's a mess. I mean, if we had an arm like that, we'd put it in a cast. There's not an elbow there. Okay, that's a mess. You know, we've got sort of two choices for elbows here. It's just, you know, it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. This is Bartlett's test of sphericity. Gives us a huge chi-square and a p-value that's got a whole bunch of zeros before you get to one. By the way, I set a personal record last night. Had a big sample size. We're working on the validation of this new instrument. 22 zeros before the first number in the p-value. So 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. There was a 4 in... oh, what was it? Big goddamn number. But, you know, 4 in like several hundred billion chances that it's a type 1 error, and there's no relationship at all. 22 zeros. That's cool. This is probably only 7 or 8, you know. All right, so clearly there's a first factor, but we knew that anyway. The question is whether we're going to keep 2 or 3. The real question here is, does that third factor have anything interesting? Does it have enough variance that makes it worth keeping around? The Bartlett's test done with the computator asks you to know the number of variables and to know the sample size. This was a really small sample. And to know the determinant of R, which is right up above there, 0.01761. And the number of factors we're sure we want to keep. So the first two look good. We're checking for the third, so the number we put in is 2. We're sure we're going to keep 2. So we have to put in the eigenvalues for those two. Which is 3.456 and 1.491 and test. And this tells us, this does all the tests up to that threshold. So after keeping one factor, we would definitely, there's definitely enough variance to keep the second factor. After keeping two, there's definitely enough variance left over to keep the third. And we're pretty confident in this because this is not a situation where we have excessive statistical power. It's not like we have 4,700. Pat?
Can you say again where the determinant of R?
Yeah, sure. It's right here. It's something that came out in the middle of the printout because we asked for it. Does that help? Cool. And so this is a nice little thing. It only tests up to 10. If you have more than 10, you've got more problems than I can probably help you with. But it is a way of getting sort of a minimum criteria. If you don't have statistical significance, you're probably going to have a hard time talking people into it. But just because it's statistically significant doesn't mean that it's going to be meaningful and you're going to like it and want to do much with it. Here's one that's a little bit different. This one's double-sided. We got three that have eigenvalue greater than one. This one, not a whole lot more than one. This, not a whole lot less than one. And so I would say that anything between two and four is fair game here. Depending upon how stable they look, what they look like statistically, and the rotation and interpretation stuff that we'll talk about tomorrow. Also, the scree plot looks a little messier. We've got an elbow here, but we've also got a little bit of an elbow there. When we do the Bartlett's test, we get what we usually get, which is the Bartlett's test isn't all that useful. No matter where we look, we've got enough power, even with a moderate sample size, we've got enough power that one more is statistically feasible. And so this is another example of where we're going to have to turn from deciding the number of factors based on a number of factors rule to deciding the number of factors based on the interpretation and the structure and the function of those factors. All right, so what we'll come back and do tomorrow is we'll look at how rotation and interpretation work. The good news is it's not hard. The bad news is it's hard to do well because you've got to work that parsimony. You've got to work those deals. You've got to think about what cutoff am I going to use and does it make sense? What does it mean if I lower it? Do I increase the number of multivocal variables? How do I think about those multivocal variables? Which rotation do I use? Which rotation do I use is sort of like a lot of other decisions we've run into. Don't make the decision. Look at what happens when you run the different rotations. See if the rotations don't all give you the same factor structure. If the different rotations all give you the same answer, you're as safe as you can be. Does that make sense? It avoids arguments about the one true way. And then we'll introduce you to common factor analysis, which is a very different construction of variables. I like to refer to it as a very different worldview, and we'll also introduce you to maximum likelihood procedures, which are often used in some of the other applications of factor analysis, including structural equation modeling and confirmatory factoring. So we'll bump you up against some of that. The quiz will probably go up in time for Wednesday, and it will stay there until you're done. And I've got, I think, four or five versions of quiz four. And so we'll just, you know, rotate through them as people get done. Everyone will have an opportunity to take and retake quiz four. Okay? Don't worry about time schedules. Worry about getting your work done well and keeping the external people happy. So if you've got a time schedule, it's not mine, it's not yours, it's somebody else's. If you want help trying to talk them into an extended time schedule, I'm there for you. All right? Get some sleep.